you so much for that introduction. I should note, she said I had 3 kids, and that's correct. If you see me toting around another kid today, another baby, that's not mine. I didn't leave one out of my biography, but I'm nannying a little girl right now, and so I have her with us today while we're here in relationship. I wanted to say thank you for this opportunity to be here. I'm very humbled to be here. This congregation holds a very special place in our family's lives, and the lectureship does as well. The lectureship is one of the first introductions we ever had to this congregation. When my husband and I were in college, we came to the lectureship a few years, and actually a few years it was on Easter, and we hung around in the afternoon, not having anywhere to go because nothing was open. But I still have fond memories of getting to come and to be exposed to great lessons and to become acquainted with this congregation. And then, of course, my husband came here for school, and I'm thankful that he was able to sit and listen at the feet of many men and learn a lot. And for the time that I was able to spend in classes as well, through the women's program, as well as getting to audit some of the classes with him. And I'm also thankful for this lesson and this assignment that I got today because it's something that I needed to dig into as well. And the opportunity to dig into God's Word is always a good opportunity. And when you speak, at least for me, I have to dig into a topic in a way that maybe you don't dig into it otherwise. And I think it's a good reminder, at least for myself, and how we ought to study God's Word. So, what is a balanced life? According to a wiki page, 5 steps to have a balanced life include exercising, resting, eating healthier, relaxing, and enjoying a hobby. According to the same wiki page, if we want to be balanced mentally, we should plan our day and set goals, write, but only positive things, find and develop our talents, keep a journal, although I'm not sure how that's different than writing, and read. According to another website, EssentialLifeSkills.net, in order to have a balanced life, we should take care of and nurture ourselves, know our priorities, create an efficient mindset, and I'm not exactly sure what that means, although that sounds great to have an efficient mindset, to expect the unexpected, and to maintain a positive mental attitude. The website parents.com gives advice to women trying to balance work and family. They say to let go of guilt, find quality child care, make mornings easier, but we all get to do that. At least I know I will, especially having my children at home. Create and organize a family calendar. Communicate with your employer. Stay connected with your children during the day. Limit distractions and time wasters. Create special family activities. Spend time with your partner. And last, create time for yourself. One interesting thing that I noticed as I was searching for things on the internet that, you know, maybe guidance for having a balanced life is, especially with the idea of being a wife and mother in mind, is I didn't find anything that related to being a stay-at-home mom, someone who didn't work outside the home. Everything was related to a woman who worked outside the home. But even if you don't work outside the home, there are great challenges in balancing our lives. And sometimes I think the world puts down the role of a woman who does only her work in the home, and it's a great blessing to be able to do that. Ultimately, many of these suggestions that these websites give are not bad suggestions. They may help us live our lives that are smoother, that, you know, our schedules work out nicely, but ultimately, I don't think they get to the truth of what it means to have a balanced life as a Christian woman. Sometimes I think we feel, though, that achieving a balanced life is like an elephant trying to balance on a basketball, or maybe even an elephant walking on a tightrope. Just something that is really unachievable. Yet we must remember that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. And that through the scriptures we may be complete, equipped for every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We must also remember 1 John 5:3. Let's turn there. First John 5:3 says, "For this is is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. God's commands to us are not burdensome. They should not be. And we show our love to him by keeping his commandments. And this includes commandments pertaining to our duties as women. I'm so thankful that God, in his infinite wisdom, has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. When considering this topic, I'm particularly thankful that he gave us the book of Ecclesiastes so that we can learn from what Solomon lived through and the wisdom that God gave him. You think about Solomon, and he lived out many, many distractions in his life. He put his focus in the wrong place in many ways. He put his efforts in the wrong places. He looked to please himself apart from God. And in the end, he regretted it. And I'm thankful that we have his experiences for us to learn from. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. After everything that Solomon went through, he wrote this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Although we may not have the position or the riches that Solomon has, in today's world, particularly with us living in America, we have a lot of opportunities to seek out and do many things that can distract us from having the balanced life that we need to have, and to keep us from serving God. Yet, we have to consider the conclusion of the whole matter. Our duty is described as fearing God and keeping his commandments. It wasn't to pursue or attain great wealth. It wasn't to become famous. It wasn't to have the most beautiful appearance. And if Facebook was around, it would not have been to get the most likes. It was to fear God and keep his commandments. So with that in mind, I want to consider more in-depth study today of the woman of Proverbs 31. So let's turn back to the book of Proverbs. We're going to spend a lot of time looking at the characteristics of this woman. In Proverbs 31, the inspired writer describes a woman who has many things going on. She wears many, many hats. She's a wife and a mother. She works inside the home and outside the home. She is very, very busy. And in all this, she's praised because of her good works and because of her focus. She is living a balanced life for the Lord. And I think we have her example for us to consider today. So let's start by reading Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. So why is this woman so rare? Why is she so worthy? Why is she so valuable? Why is she hard to find? Ultimately, the rest of the chapter describes these things that make her worthy, but it can be summed up in verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. We consider, looking back at what Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, this woman exemplifies Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. To fear God and to keep his commandments. She had the right purpose, and she lived a life that reflected that purpose. We cannot have a balanced life if we don't have the right purpose, if our lives are not anchored in eternity. Consider an anchor, and the purpose that an anchor has. It's to ground a ship in a specific location. If the ship didn't have the anchor, it could easily drift away and end up in a location. Think about the waves and the sea that could toss the ship about. But an anchor keeps it in a specific location. It brings the ship back to the right location. In the same way, if our lives are anchored in eternity, if we have the right focus, we can be brought back to the right spot and kept away from sin and other distractions that would take us away. Our eyes must be focused on where we want to go. And we ought to want to go to heaven. And if you think about the example of texting while driving, why do we have all these laws that prevent us from texting and driving? Why is it considered so dangerous? Well, it's considered dangerous because if we're texting while we drive, we're not having our focus on where we need to go. In the same way, just as not focusing on the road when we're driving, if we're not focusing on heaven as we live our lives, it can be dangerous to our souls. If we don't have our eyes focused on heaven, how can we be the wife described in Ephesians 5? If we don't have our lives anchored in eternity, How can we fulfill the roles described to the women in Titus 2? How can we be the servant of God that we must be? No matter our position in life, we must have our eyes focused on eternity and in obedience to God. Christ has become the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him, according to Hebrews 5:9. So we must live our lives in focus and obedience to him. And along those lines, let's consider, mine holds your place in Proverbs 31, because we're going to spend a lot of time coming back there. But look at Colossians 3. Right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, if we have our lives anchored in eternity, we are going to follow this command out. We are going to set our minds on things above. If we have been raised with Christ, according to Colossians 2:12, that we've been buried with him in baptism, then we need to be seeking out the things which are above, and setting our minds on the things above, and not on the things that are of the earth. And by having that kind of mindset, that will help us have a balanced life. But in order to have a balanced life, we must not only have the right focus. Just having the right focus isn't going to do everything for us to have a balanced life. We also have to demonstrate that focus through our actions. A balanced life as a Christian, a wife, a mother, is going to be a very busy, active life. Proverbs 31:27, in describing the virtuous woman, says that she does not eat the bread of idleness. So I want to take some time to consider her work and everything that she's busy with. We're going to start in verse 10. We're going to go through this pretty quickly. We're going to read the rest of the chapter. But as we go through, I'm going to note some different things that she is busy doing. So starting in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have no lack of any. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. So she is doing her husband good every day. That encompasses a lot of things and takes a lot of effort. You know, think about having to do her husband good when she doesn't feel like it. When she's tired, when the kids have run her down, she's still doing her husband good. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. So she is seeking out things to work with, and she's willingly working. She's doing it with the right attitude. She's like the merchant ships, and she brings her food from afar. So she's going out and seeking food for her family. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her family. So she gets up early. You know, sometimes I think, you know, if we had a balanced life, we'd get all the sleep we needed. And we would never be tired. But that's not true. There are going to be times that we're going to have to get up early or stay up late. We're not going to always have the rest that we think we might ought to have because we're going to be busy, or we ought to be busy doing God's work. Verse 15. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. So she gets up early to provide for others. She's providing for her household and also for the servants within her household. Verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. So she's going out and seeking a field, and then she plants it. She's working in the field. She's working as a farmer. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She has time to take care of herself physically. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She's aware of the markets. She knows what's going on. She knows that the things that she's providing to those around her is good. And her lamp doesn't go out by night. Once again, she's staying up late to do the things that she needs to do. She stretches out her hand to the distaff and holds her hand to the spindle. This is something I wish I could do, but I don't know how to do. But she was able to do these things. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. She is seeking out these people who need her help and taking care of them. She is not afraid of snow for her household. For all her household is clothed with scarlet. So she's taking care of her household. She has planned and is taking care of her household. She makes tapestry for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. So once again, she's working with her hands. She's making things and she's supplying them so that they can be sold. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She has joy. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She speaks with wisdom in her mouth. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Think about what it really takes to watch over all the ways of your household. There's a lot involved in that, even if you don't have children. Watching over the ways of your household is a very involved job, and I think that it's interesting that it's paired with and does not eat of the bread of idleness, because watching over the ways of our household is very involved, and we're going to be very busy doing those things, and if we're idle, we can't do those things as we should be. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And so she was very, very busy. She was doing the work at hand. I do think it's interesting that in all this, she doesn't seem to be very busy with her words. As women, we have a tendency to be very busy with our words, and maybe not as much with our hands as we need to be. But when she was working with her words, it says that she used wisdom and kindness. Consider Proverbs 15, verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to start by reading verse 2, Proverbs 15, 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of the fool, pours forth foolishness. So this could describe this woman in Proverbs 31. And I think it's interesting when you go back and you read verse 1 in conjunction with that, which says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You think about in the household particularly, with your husband, with your children, how using your words wisely, using kindness, having a soft answer versus a harsh word, how that can go towards helping your household. And I'm thankful that we have these wise words for us to learn from. So she was busy with using words that were with wisdom and kindness, but she was also busy with mental work. I don't think, maybe we don't always think of that. But if we look at, for example, Proverbs 31:16, it says, she considers a field and buys it. That took her mental work. She had to consider if it was a good thing to do or not. And also in verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. And so the fact that she could perceive that her merchandise is good, that's another example of mental work that she was doing. She also, you know, had mental work when considering the things that she was doing with her children and her husband. She was also very busy with her hands, and most of the examples that we read through were the things that she was busy with her hands. And just bringing back a few examples, Proverbs 31:13, she seeks wool and flax, and she willingly works with her hands. Verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. And verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor, yes, she reaches out to the needy. And some of these things had to do with working within her house, but some of them also had to do with, you know, you think about verse 20, extending her hand to the poor. Getting out and doing and helping others as well. So additionally, if we're going to have a balanced life, we're going to need to get rid of things that hold us back from doing this work, from doing the work that we ought to do, from doing the work that has been described for us in Proverbs 31. There are a lot of things that can distract us from doing the work at hand. Sometimes we're distracted by our own laziness. Simply just deciding we're not going to do the work or choosing not to do the work or thinking it's too hard. If we do not want to be the bread of idleness, Proverbs 31:27. You consider the worthy woman. She rose while it was still night in verse 15 and she stayed up late in verse 18. We don't want to be idle. We also sometimes, I think, worry distracts us from doing the work at hand. And one way to combat worry is through preparation. If you think of Proverbs 31:21, it says, "She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet." She wasn't not afraid of the snow because she didn't care about her family, but because she did care about her family and because she had done something to prepare for it. Proverbs 24 says, "The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. This is the kind of man who has reason to worry because he's been lazy." And that man described as nothing like the woman in Proverbs 31. Sometimes the distraction in fulfilling our roles that we have been given is another role that we've been given. For example, children and carrying out the role as a mother can distract us from fulfilling our role as a wife. However, I want us to consider the opportunity that we have to strengthen and develop our relationship with our husband because of our children. I firmly believe that, in my case, that my marriage is stronger because I've had to parent my husband. And because we go through these things together. You know, does that mean that my relationship with my husband wouldn't grow or mature if we didn't have children? Not at all. I just mean that the opportunity for parenting together has provided us with a unique opportunity to grow. And I know as women, we often try to take on everything on our own and to do too much. But we have to realize that God created the home with two parents. We have to be careful not to take on the responsibility of parenting alone unless we truly have to because of some sort of sorrowful situation, such as death or divorce. Sometimes the distraction that keeps us from having a balanced life is sin. And we have to remove that sin from our lives. If you consider Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." If you think back to Hebrews 11, it's the chapter of faith and all those great examples of faith. And the Hebrew writer here encourages us to look to those examples, and because we look to those examples, we want to lay aside every weight and every sin that ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, and keeping our focus and our eyes set on Jesus. If we consider Proverbs 31:25, it says, "Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come." This describes a woman who has great character and integrity. Let's look at Psalm 15. Starting in verse 1. "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against his friend. In his eyes are a vile person is despised, but he who honors those who fear the Lord, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall not be moved." Think about how having integrity and character can help us avoid sin. This psalm right here describes a person of integrity, a person of character, someone who is walking uprightly, and the things that he does in his life, and by doing these things, it will help keep us from committing sin. And it says at the end of this, "He who does these things shall never be moved." I also want us to consider Psalm 101. To really study this more in depth, because I think this particular psalm has a lot to teach us about integrity. But I want to read a few of the verses. I want to read verse 2. It says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And ESV says that at the end of that, I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. And thinking about how we need to have integrity not only when other people can see us, but are within our home, but within our house, and how important that is to our relationship with our husband, but also as we're raising our children, and thinking about, you know, I think a lot of times when we see children who aren't doing what they ought to be doing, it's because the family is not living the life that they ought to be living at home. Children are very observant. They can see all sorts of things. They can see when we have hypocrisy in our lives. And then let's read a few more of these verses. Verse 3, I have set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Verse 4, perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. And then I want to go down to verse 7. It says, he who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. When we think about these verses in conjunction with the roles that we are given in Titus 2, particularly the role of being a keeper at home, there's great application there. We have to guard our homes. As women, we are called to guard our homes. That word keeper at home literally means to guard our homes. And this is one great way that we can guard our homes is to not allow deceit in our house and to not allow lies into our home. And we have to be careful and to protect our home in that way. Sometimes the distraction that is keeping us from having a balanced life is comparing our lives to others. And I think particularly comparing to other women. I know there has probably always been a distraction to look to others and compare our lives. But I think in today's world with social media, where it can just be right there in your face at any moment, it is really hard to escape that distraction. And not only can we see it all the time, but sometimes we don't see a true picture. And that can be very dangerous as well. You think about what someone posts on Facebook or Instagram. It is often only a glimpse into their lives, and sometimes it's not even a real glimpse. It is just an impression that they want to give off and want to display. You think about when was the last time one of your friends posted the pile of dishes that they hadn't done yet, or maybe when they bragged about their children bickering. We just don't see that, and it can really get us down, I think, and really distract us from the work that we need to be doing when we start looking at other people's lives. Theodore Roosevelt stated that comparison is the thief of joy. Yet in Philippians 4:4, we are commanded as Christians to have to rejoice. In the same book in Philippians, Paul wrote that he had learned to be content in whatever state he was in. Distracting ourselves with other people's lives can steal the joy that we should have as Christians because of our victory in Christ. Distracting ourselves with other people's lives can also prevent us from realizing our true value at work. And I think realizing our true value and worth can really help us live a balanced life. Let's go back to Proverbs 31. And I want us to consider who this woman was valuable to. Who was this virtuous woman, this rare, this hard-to-find woman, valuable to? She was valuable to the poor, in verse 20. She extended her hands to the poor, and she reached out her hands to the poor. Think of how grateful those people were to her. She was also valuable to the maidservants in her house. In verse 15, she rose while it was yet night to provide food for her household, but also to provide for the servants in her house. She was also valuable to her children. And there are lots of verses throughout the passage that describe this. The one we just mentioned, rising while it was yet night to provide food for her family, but also verse 21. Where it says she's not afraid of snow for her household because she has taken care of them. She has clothed them. Verse 27, she is watching over the ways of her household and is not eating of the bread of idleness. In verse 28, it says that her children rise up and call her blessed. She took care of her children's physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. But she was also valuable to her husband. She was worthy to him. In verse 11, it says that the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. she will have, so he will have no lack of gain. Consider the kind of trust that he had to have in order to let her go afar to do all these different things that it describes her doing. You know, some women don't put that kind of trust in their husband by their actions, but this woman did. Verse 12, it says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Think of how our households would be blessed by doing our husband good every day. She watches over the ways, verse 27, watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And I want us to also consider how she was valuable to her husband because of the way she took care of her children and because of all the other things she was doing within the household, by taking care of the needy and the poor, and by going out and working, by taking care of her children. These things are valuable to a husband as well. Proverbs 12:4 says that an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. This woman was also valuable to God. Proverbs 31:29 through 31 says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. She was valuable to God because she feared him. She was also valuable because she is busy doing the duties that God gave her. What's to consider? Is it enough for us to be valuable to God? It ought to be. We do not need to be seeking our value in the world. Remember that God created us. God sacrificed his son for us. Christ came to this earth and went to the cross for us. We are valuable to God, and that ought to be good motivation for us. We have to realize that she wasn't acknowledged as being worthy or valuable because she planned a perfect Pinterest birthday party or because she planned a perfect Pinterest bridal brunch. She wasn't acknowledged as being worthy because she had the most organized homeschool classroom, and I'm very thankful for that, because mine is not. She wasn't acknowledged as worthy because she was married to the most handsome man in the room. She wasn't acknowledged for being worthy, for being the best mom, for being rich, for being famous, for being well-known, or because of her status in life. A balanced life is not about any of those things. It is about having our life anchored in eternity, busy fulfilling the roles that God has given us in his perfect word. I want us to consider again 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It states, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have been given what we need to be equipped for the work of this life. Does that mean it's always easy? No, it doesn't. But we have the tools that we need. And we are equipped for doing the works of being a wife and mother. Remember what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear not and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And I want us to consider that in conjunction with Proverbs 31, 29 through 31. And I know we've read this many times, but let's read it once more. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I want us to think about the fact that the inspired writer here says, to give her the fruit of her hands, and to let her own works praise her in the gates. In Ecclesiastes 12:14, it says that we're going to be judged by the works that we've done. And here, it says that this woman should be praised because of the works that she did. She was worthy because she had the right focus with this and priority, which was seen through the works that she did in her life. A balanced life is not a life where I always have the dishes done and the laundry done, where I always quickly make the delicious and nutritious dinner, where I never have a hair out of place, where my children are always the best students and athletes, where I'm working at a prestigious job, and where I plan the perfect family vacations. But rather, a balanced life is one where we focus on God and showing his love to others, especially our children, our husbands, our friends, our church family, and those we come in contact with. Our Baptist life should not be, but should be filled with joy and determination as we do what God has commanded us to do through His Word. And in doing so, fulfill and share the gospel of Christ by the lives that we live.